Hello and welcome once again to the CGW podcast. This is the podcast for September 11th, 2006. Well, I'm getting visual aids. Darren's conducting my voice rhythms here. This is Jeff Green, the editor in chief of Computer Gaming World magazine. Hey, I got the magazine name right this week. Yay! Woo. And with me are, wow, that's a weird ad, John. We're going to be looking at some old CGW.
Going back.
I guess we're going to be looking at it. You're going to be listening to us looking at old CGW. isn't that exciting for you?
September 95.
We'll describe pictures to you. Yeah. Enjoy.
It'll be great, I promise. And joining us today, as usual, are the cast and crew of CGW, which include
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean Elliott,
Sean Malloy.
And I have been meaning to give extra special props to Mr. Malloy the last few weeks because he is on this fancy new sound console rig here that he has mastered like some kind of, you know.
He's kind of like Moby on the deck right now.
Exactly. Funkmaster DJ or something.
Really?
Can I say Funkmaster? So anyway, it's an impressive display over there.
Lots of shiny lights.
Uh-huh. I don't know what any of them do. But
I don't either.
But you look good doing it there. So cool. Bravo. Okay, we got lots on the agenda today. Lots to talk about. We got to keep moving, move fast, pay attention. Sean, put the magazine down. We got
to
talk.
I'm ready to talk. I'm just getting pumped up looking at this stuff. We get ads with fake ass Klingons ripping dudes' arms off.
Yeah,
they don't make them like they used to. Man,
we're on a big nostalgia kick here at CGW because we're working on the very last issue, and we're doing a retrospective feature. And by the way, it's official now, so I'll say it on air. All three former CGW editor-in-chiefs are contributing to this piece, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
So and some extra special surprise. We're going to keep that a surprise, right? What's going on?
What about Scorpia?
With the five extra special things?
Oh, yes, yeah. We'll keep that secret. I have not heard from Scorpia. Scorpia, if you're out there and you're listening, don't be shy. You could still get in here. Russell Sipes writing for us, Johnny Wilson, and George Jones, the three previous editors-in-chief. But we've been looking through these old issues here, and there's some just really great stuff, really funny stuff.
Just sitting here off the bat, the first thing, I think the good thing about going back through the old issues is just to remind you that it's the same as it ever was. I mean, for all the stuff that's changed, like Klingons ripping off arms, we've matured to now where we have women in bathtubs with toasters in there with them. Mm-hmm. But like
it's
the one that
now.
Ryan was just holding, it's purely black and white. The entire thing's black and white, but it's like 70% of the games in there have to do with World War II.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Completely. That was a special World War II issue, as a matter of fact. So,
there's quite a few in the one I've got right here as well. So it's just kind of like, you know.
World War II is always popular.
This is usual.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. My wife picked up this issue last night, and it's what's the total page count there, Ryan? It's like 58 pages, and it's black and white, and it looks like, you know, some you put together in print shop in high school.
I think Ted Kaczynski put that together.
Pretty much. But her reaction was, boy, it sure had a lot less ads than you guys have now, as if that was a good thing. And I was like, well, that's because no one would advertise in there.
There are some ads in there, but they're just completely random.
Yeah, well, they're kind of like, you know, buy Joe's games, and then there's like a P.O. box.
I'm trying to find one. We're increasingly getting off topic and into this topic.
We're not even on any topic.
Awesome.
We haven't started talking.
When we get to them later in the podcast and I find there's some awesome advertisements for porn-based games in this 95 issue. And I was getting
hot and
bothered for those. Oh, they must be in the back? All right.
Yeah, they got it.
But okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here we go. Seymour Butts Interactive 2, In Pursuit of Pleasure.
It's a great game, by the way.
Okay, it's like a woman with a Canadian Mounties jacket on, opened up, and a bikini bottom, and then a grizzly bear with the bikini top in his mouth.
Is this pre-Canadian?
On the side.
Wow.
And then the tagline is even butter than the first one.
Wow.
Then,
wow.
Then we've got...
And they say we've gone downhill.
Holy crap. I don't know about you. I've been there.
Yeah, we got... Oh, yeah. So, yeah, would people write in? Because in our last... not our last issue, but 2 issues ago in the letter bag, we had, you know, someone complaining about the quality of the ads and stuff.
Yep.
So look at here. We've also, in addition to the Seymour Butts 2, we have Dirty Debutantes 2, The Asian Invasion. So
wait, that's one CD, right? Dirty Debutantes 2 is the Asian Invasion.
Double,
it's a
two, right,
it's a two CD. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then there's like
one, too.
A Vietnamese-looking woman in the background, and then like the greasiest peep stash dude with giant aviator glasses down in the bottom, like sticking his tongue out.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I want to give me some of that.
It's so bad.
Yeah, you know, people may not know this who are recent, when I say recent, like within this decade, computer gaming world readers. We used to have porn ads in the back of the magazine.
Nice.
Yeah. So
so stop complaining.
So stop, or maybe start complaining if you wish they were back. I don't know. We want porn ads. Actually, my highlight, my favorite part of that issue that you're holding, Sean, was the ad for Wing Commander 3 up front, where Wing Commander 3 was very much in the interactive movie days. So it starred Mark Hamill.
Oh, here we go.
Mark Hamill and Malcolm McDowell. Yeah, and the tagline is, "Don't watch the game, play the movie."
Nice.
FMV all the way.
I don't even know. Yeah.
My favorite part is that the cover asks the question, are DOS games dead?
Yeah. I think the answer was yes.
The answer was yes.
Yeah. I think we know the answer, though.
In fact, I read the article, and we hedged a little bit. Ooh. We said...
way to take a stand.
Yep. As usual. Well, maybe they're dead. We were actually saying if you liked graphic, 3D graphic-intensive games at that time, you may not want to upgrade to Win95 yet. Oh. You may want to hold on to DOS.
The background art I love is just some, like... Well, Google didn't exist at the time. Well, maybe it did, but just...
It's like a Photoshop.
It's just like a picture of lightning storm, like the kind you'd have from, like, whatever, it's a Dignity, and then it would define it for you.
Yeah,
just randomly a lightning storm in the background.
That's like a accessories poster or something like that with, like, the lightning's like, Synergy or something.
Yeah, of course, you know, we're sitting here now making fun of this issue, and
right,
11
years
from
now,
the current staff will be making fun of our crappy issues.
Yeah.
I expect no less.
Their hover cars.
What goes around comes around.
That's how it goes. That's just like the what we deal with, though. It's such a, you know, I mean, as much as we want to talk about timeless classics and games, I mean, there are so few of them, you know. I mean, I look back on stuff that I reviewed, you know, 3 years ago, and I'm like, what the hell was that? How did that come out? Why did it exist? Remember, there's that game Freaky Flyers, and it was like a kart racing game, but with planes. But they all had, like, these, you know, batitude personalities, and they're all, you
they
know,
extreme.
Each one of a generic ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
But it had an awesome song, too. Anyway.
You're right.
I was setting it up to sing the song, and Sean's giving the cut. Get the shit on the road.
No, I was just scratching my neck.
Oh, okay. I'm not singing it now.
Wow. What happens when the sound guy makes gestures?
Yeah. Well, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to sing.
It's funny. I wondered what that gesture was, too. He was just scratching
his neck. Yeah, you reacted to it. I'm like, what?
I know.
She thought it was like the wrap it up box.
No, sorry. I will not move anymore.
Be careful, Sean. Yeah.
You have too much power, Sean.
I know. This board makes me powerful.
Okay, so we actually do have topics today other than random stuff. We have the usual. What are you playing? We had... a friendly analyst come out today with some interesting comments on PC gaming. A guy for, well, we'll talk about it later, but he said some things about PC gaming that we want to, like, completely, like, make fun of, basically.
Because you leave my mom out of this.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything bad about the guy, but these statements are kind of moronic, and he must be sort of an idiot. But
but you don't want to say anything.
I don't want to cast aspersions, no.
Right. We're going to talk a little bit about our Islamo gaming feature that's in the... October issue of CGW, mostly just about...
That was September.
Oh, is it September?
September.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
It got picked up by Fox News, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Darren is going to tell us about an Xbox 360 notebook, because what would the Computer Gaming World podcast be without talking about the Xbox 360 for a while?
Hey, it's just a nerdy thing that I thought was pretty damn
I know.
Sweet.
It's just we do that. A little bit about Halo, speaking of Xbox 360 and the RTS mod that was being worked on. Some good news for our pals Double Fine production, we'll get to. Some news from Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling. He has important words for you. Or something. Kind of like a commercial.
He's got a pitch.
Reader mail. So we kick it off with the usual. What are you playing? Are you guys playing games
playing
these days?
More new stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ryan, are you playing anything? Ryan, you've been kind of quiet.
How's Eve? How's Eve?
Eve's going good. Still playing.
Yeah.
Still playing without you?
Huh?
It is,
yeah. Excellent. I'm actually about to upgrade my computer soon, so...
What's your Zeno economic skill at?
Huh? What the hell?
you actually
I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
It sounded good.
Yeah. I want to get into DEF CON after hearing you guys talk about it every week.
Now's the time.
This is the time.
Me
get
too.
On board.
Probably not even talking about it.
So just EVE Online?
Just EVE Online
far.
Right now. Yep.
Guild Wars, are you done?
I'm waiting for the expansion.
Okay.
That's late October.
You hear that, NCSoft? Ryan is waiting.
Man, I burn out on that game too easy. Like, I'll go for, like, 2 weeks just nonstop playing Guild Wars, and then I'll...
Yeah, well, how many hours do you clock in that nonstop? I mean, like, you clock some serious time as soon as...
I'd have to check my hours on my current character, but I've got a lot of hours.
I really sort of wish they'd disable that feature. Played. It's really kind of depressing.
Yeah.
That's kind of like before you check into AA, you kind of, like, you see how long you've been playing for.
It's like, I don't want to keep typing it. I want to know, but I don't want to know, you know?
I hear you.
You just don't want your wife to know.
Hey,
well, more to the point, yeah.
For some people, it's a badge of honor, though.
I guess.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
We were comparing played time and WoW the other day, and I didn't feel so bad after all the other people in my group said what theirs was. So I was like, oh.
It's like the beginning of an Alcoholics
Anonymous. It's only 30 real-time days of my life have been spent in this game.
Yeah, I noticed the last few days, every time I logged into WoW, there was always this one person there. Always. Didn't matter what time of day I logged on. And I was getting like a private messenger, man, when are you not playing? Because every time I log on, I see you. But then I realized, oh, wait.
I'm there too.
She could be saying that about me.
Right.
Or how come that farmer. Egbert guy is on every time I'm on?
You got an excuse, though. It's work for you.
Yeah, it's work.
Yeah,
it's work.
That's what it is.
At 3 in the morning as it's raided.
Hopefully the wife is listening. See, it's work. I didn't say it. Sean said
will
it.
Help me finish
thanks,
this
Sean.
I'll start
feature.
Calling you. Hey, you know, I need you to get to level whatever by one more.
That used to work. That worked with her with almost every game, but WoW. Because, you know, 2 years on, just really how long could this article be?
Wait, Burning Crusade coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Done.
You're right.
You're covered.
Darren,
you're tightening up the graphics on level 3.
You got to ratchet that tension up.
Mr. Gladstone, what are you playing?
Oh, God, I'm playing with my computer right now because it's busted.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know how much time we got here, so I'm going to give the really, really abbreviated version. But I'm testing out the new XPS 700, and I got to build your own board. So it's kind of like a motherboard and just the case, power supply, not much else. And I ran into some serious problems this weekend. I tried checking the RAID drivers and all this other. You know what? I'll spray you the nerd talk. Basically, I spent about 4.5 hours on tech support calls over the weekend.
Oh God!
And no one had an answer for me. And then when it got to like the last, like I was like after being transferred between, I feel like a world traveler this weekend. I was talking to like all these, I have these new friends in India now.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I got
you cannot put the ATI driver into the NVIDIA socket.
Man,
I had to say it. It's not PC, but I've had it happen before. It is not compatible.
No, but actually, I gotta say, like,
a disclaimer for our Indian friends listening.
No, but I gotta say, those
we do love you.
Everyone I talked to was actually really cool about it. Like, they were trying to be supportive and helpful, and they didn't know what was going on until I got to the last guy. Like, there was the tier two support who basically says to me, he goes, "Do you might need a new floppy disk." And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, your drivers might be corrupted and you need a new floppy disk or something. And
what would that have to do with the floppy?
That's what I said. Anyway, so since that time, I mean, it's kind of funny. So I basically went through this whole thing acting as Joe Consumer. I did not pull the reviewer.
Do you know
card.
Who I am?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear me. So I didn't pull any of that crap. I just wanted to see, you know, how it worked, you know, mm-hmm. as, you know, the Joe Consumer experience. And I got to tell you, it sucked. I have a whole new level of respect for people who got to deal with this day in, day out, just, you know, who buy the computers and such.
Hmm. So far in this podcast, we have alienated Dell.
We're making but,
and the
no,
people of India.
We're making it all right because we're self-deprecating now. Let's just parody ourselves.
Hey, I've got this computer here. And,
well,
is it is it plugged in? No.
All right, now we're even.
Okay. Exactly. Well, no, I mean, like,
I spoke for all CGW.
Exactly. All covered. So I'll just wrap this up really quick. But basically, I got kind of like a different kind of level of treatment because I talked to the PR person in the morning saying, hey, what's going on? And immediately I got a call back from some guy who's in charge of tech support.
Right.
And the way he explains it to me, he goes, like, every once in a while there are these calls that they don't get the service they expect. And it's this guy's job mm-hmm. to call people every day who don't get the service mm-hmm. they expect. So it is a learning experience for them, too. And he's saying that he told me that, you know, obviously they try to, like, find these trouble cases that have these problems, and he mm-hmm. makes like he deals with like 10 specific or so cases a week, like mine.
That's got to be a fun job.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I appreciate what the dude was doing, and I mean, well, hopefully we'll get it, hopefully get the problem resolved, and I can write about.
If
write
not, we'll diss him a second time next week.
Sweet.
I want 7 days, Dell.
I'm the vulture waiting in the wings to get to feed on your leftovers.
My carrion, yeah, he totally is.
But then you like I was set to go pick up some parts over the weekend, and Darren's like, you got a copy of Windows? You got a hard drive? I was like, no, man. Yeah, he's like, you got to reformat the hard drive. I was like,
yeah. So basically, I'm gonna get the thing fixed, and I mean like. Again, the people who I actually talked to on the phone were pretty, you know, they were trying to be as helpful as possible. But, you know, at the end of the day, that last call just kind of like, I was like, dude, why talk to me? Like, he was talking to me like I was the guy who puts the coffee cup inside the CD-ROM thinking it's a cup holder. I don't know.
That's what he deals with all day, though.
I guess.
Wait, it's not. The lowest common.
Yeah.
But you figure on the XPS line, it's going to be like... The more elite.
Oftentimes,
guys.
They're reading from
a script,
right? Oh, yeah, I mean, sure. You tell them, you specify the nature of your problem, and they flip to that page in the handbook.
Yeah, and also,
and it's got instructions for, you know,
and also
choose your own adventure.
And the other thing, this was kind of a gray area too, because this really is a whole new kind of area for Dell. Like I have for review. It was strictly the case. And it wasn't like they provided the OS or anything like that. I had to basically put it together myself, and it kind of falls in between the gray area of what Microsoft covers and what Dell covers.
Yeah, I bought an XPS notebook just for my home use, and I had to call tech support right after I bought it. And I actually was really impressed, you know, with the whole XPS personal service. You know, like they assigned one person to me. And she followed up, you know, the next day. She called me back when we
did. You see, I think...
You didn't have to wait for an hour either on the phone?
No, they answered it right away.
Yeah, wow. The thing is, I think it might be one of... This might be one of those in-between areas they're probably trying to iron out the bugs on because really, like, Dell's kind of experimenting with this whole idea of you can order as much or as little as you want on their systems.
Right, right, right.
And this is kind of like where something gets lost in the cracks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, and I have to give a quick shout-out. I forgot to do this last week, but there's this awesome freeware at retrogaming.org. They're having these competitions to recreate classic games with a modern twist. So, like, Discs of Tron, the old Star Wars Vector Graphics arcade game, all that stuff. So check it out, retrogaming.org.
They've got quite a few on there right
Darren
now.
Darren just made $5 for sale.
Bam! Nice. Done. That's hits made.
Nice.
Sean, Elliot?
I'm still in demo land, and I can get on to Faces of War in a minute, but first some more about Call of Juarez, which I mentioned last week.
Where is...
The amazing thing about this game is, and as you know, it's a first-person shooter set in the Wild West.
Is it beta right now, or is it...
No, it's a demo.
Oh,
it's actually a demo.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's not... the hilarious thing is, I mean, for one, the name. What the hell is the Call of Juarez other than like listing next to Call of Duty in the section of the store? You know.
Ah, yeah, I didn't even.
And
think
what
about
is
that.
What does Juarez right. call out? You know, I don't know. Anyway,
shout out to the Juarez. So
play the single player campaign or something.
Oh, actually, one bit of I don't know if you realize this. So you know, it's out in Europe now. Or
yeah,
and the funny thing is, they actually decided to delay it here in the States.
Right, it's got to be out because people. Playing the demo have access only to two classes and then to two weapon sets and whatnot. And you'll see other people come in with a full, you know, assortment of, you know, character classes and stuff. But anyway, this game, the part that's cracking me up, it's funny because it's basically like Cowboy Counter-Strike or something. And really, the multiplayer is really straightforward as it gets, but it's like oddly compelling because there's no, I don't know, there's no punishment for team killing and stuff. And you just go Juarez on everyone. And like,
is that now a
it's
verb?
It's loaded with hacks already. And it's a demo. Mm. It's like, how reassuring. I mean,
funny.
It's like backfiring. It's like, hey, buy this game because the demo's already out. And the very day the demo dropped, we've already got hackers in here. And not only that, there's a whole hacking, griefing clan. I forget their tag. But, I mean, they've got this crap where they basically push a button, pass through the floor and underneath the map. Or they've got a super high jump so they can jump up. And then on the descent, they can press their sort of phase button and go through buildings. But on the upside, whenever they're inside of a building or beneath the map on the floor, they can still shoot at you and it will hit you. Their shots will connect. So immediately they phase down. We try to team kill them from the beginning. You know, we spin around and aim for them and start using the auto commands like, I see them, Summer Beach! I see them, Summer Beach! Like, that's actually, you press V, you know, 4-3 and you can see
that's one of their built-in.
Yeah, it's all stuff like that. Because it's basically like Mexicans versus Native Americans. So depending on which side you're on. And anyway,
but there's no white men in this.
There are a couple that look that way, but
tread
not the audio doesn't really reflect that.
Hmm.
So it's not like Deadwood. So,
no. But anyway, once they pass through the ground, they immediately kill off all their teammates and then just go around the map. And you'll see them sometimes fly off, and then you'll see them up in the mountains that are supposed to be surrounding. Because instead of a skybox to create the illusion of a background, it's an actual geometry that you just as normally isn't accessible.
Sounds not unlike the Wild West itself.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, so you see like,
this is just like a gang of outlaws,
Wire Trick, Once Upon a Time in China, Part 3, Jet Li up in the hills, like bouncing around, throwing dynamite down into the map. And I thought that was hilarious just because it's like, again, here's the demo and here's why you need to get this game. We got mad hacks. And then,
test your hack skills.
It's a single player game. Is it anything like Guns?
I haven't even played it since the E3.
Yeah, I played it early. I played the same build.
Is there any relation to Activision's Gun?
No.
Well, totally different experience?
It's straight up a first person shooter.
This is developed in what, Poland?
Poland, by Techland.
Right. Techland. That's all the servers. Like the best ping you can hope for is like 190 because all the servers are hosted then in Poland or whatever. Mm-hmm. And not so many American players on there. But it seems really popular among Germans and Austrians, which are on there a lot.
Well, they're star for entertainment right now, I guess.
Yeah. And then on the upside, also published by Ubisoft, is Faces of War. And it's a real-time tactics game. And I just kind of grabbed it like, let's see what it is. And I totally, fallen in love with it. I'm really digging this game.
Now, this is the game that is the sequel to Soldiers, Heroes of World War II that came out from Codemasters a couple years back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And got a name change, but I mean, especially easy to overlook right now because you know all the World War II top-down view stuff, attention centered on company heroes. But you play this, and it's like you can take direct control of an individual unit. So you know you could drive a tank, and it's like an action game. But you still have your unit following you if you grouped them with them. And you don't have to worry about resources. You know, it's all based on time and a fixed allotment, and you just spawn in what you need, you know, as you're able to get it in, set it up the way you want, and then let the tactics play from there. So it's massively dependent upon micromanagement. And I'm just totally getting into all these new genres now. So, it's got that stigma, but for me, I'm like, who would normally be averse to anything overly complex in this type of game. It's like it's fine because you never have that many units and because you can actually control each one.
Maybe they're learning from last time. It got a little unwieldy and especially the AI was a little busted. So let's say you had to take direct control of a dude in a tank.
Yeah.
The rest of your squad was just kind of sitting there waiting out in the open to get shot. Or you had to really micromanage everything.
They do better on their own. Their problem is pathfinding, you know, that
always
traditional bugbear of RTS, right? Because in this game, everything in the environment's destroyed. Buildings, trees, and everything. And they always take the path of most resistance, but that's like a direct line to where you click. So instead of going through the road or the gateway between two factories, they'll just go through the factory themselves. Just bust through the walls and everything.
As opposed to Company of Heroes that would actually try to
The pathfinding Company of Heroes is excellent in that way. I mean, it will totally get it down right. But despite all that, it's still fun because it's just when you switch to that independent control in the tank rush, you know, machine gun, you know, go to the machine gun on the guy in the back or whatever, take out a few guys, and then you see an artillery shell skips off the top of the tank, and it's all real physics and stuff like Company Heroes. Mm-hmm. Blast that guy's head off, and then you go back to the main turret, use that, switch over to direct control of artillery, drop a few, precision surgical strikes with artillery, and switch to the bazooka guys on the side and use their rockets. I mean, it's a lot of, like I said, a lot of micromanagement and direct control, but I'm totally enjoying it so far. And then plus, it's got the Soviets and the Americans, so it's got a lot more to the campaign, I'm suspecting, than the other game. And just tons of little stuff, you know. It's hooking up your, correct me if this is just a standard in games, but, you know, you hook up your artillery to your trucks or your tanks and drive it around if you want. Throw your guys on the back of the tanks, have them get in the storage bins and pull out, you know, repair kits and dynamite to do, you know, all this little crap with. And
well, that was one of the cool things I had with the last game. So
They brought that forward. I'm just new to it, but it's pretty cool. I recommend that people try the demo at least. And it's kind of a shame that it's just going to get completely dwarfed. It's not, no one's going to even notice it with Company Heroes out at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of, it is coming out this week, right?
It's supposed to be out tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, they're going to get me a rough one, but I don't know, maybe you'll find it in the bargain bins something, or it's worth checking out.
Well, I'll consider that a recommendation. Maybe we'll make a few sales.
Yeah, it's fun. Come play online with us.
the last game.
Go to the CGW forums. We get games going, pick up games now and then.
Way back in the golden days when we actually still scored, that game, the last one got 4 out of 5, so.
Cool.
Wow, did it?
Yeah.
I'm definitely excited. I should clarify too that not even just hey, this is kind of fun because I didn't expect it to be fun. It's I actually went to bed thinking about what I was going to try the next time I played it in the morning when I woke up. So that's a pretty good recommendation.
That's a very good sign.
You know what? That's great.
Mr. Malloy?
Yeah, you could probably just cut and paste the last minute 27.
You guys
got to
play more
week.
Games.
I know.
It's tough when you get sucked into that WoW vortex. It's hard to get out.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like any time you're playing another game,
you're
wasting time where you could be doing this or that in WoW.
That's how I was with Battlefield, and it was good when, like, I finally got to the point where I'm like, it just kind of naturally happened, and then now I'm, like, trying everything I can. You know?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that happened with you with WoW, right, Sean? I mean, I'm sure it happened before, right?
Yeah, this isn't the first time that I've been addicted.
Right, I mean, you go through phases. I end up getting completely burned out.
So what are you addicted to now? Is it a new group of people you're playing with?
It's the new guild I'm in. I finally found a guild that, like, I enjoy playing with and, like, the raid experiences aren't total nightmares.
So is it more like, because like, you feel like a devotion, like, you know, like a soldier in the Alliance Army kind of thing, or are you just, or is it Horde?
Alliance.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yes, good.
No, actually, because now I have someone to kill.
Okay, perfect.
For the Horde.
Right now, I guess it's just the whole raiding thing has just really got my attention because I just found the boss battles and the coordination going on fascinating, and it's really interesting because they're like, one of the later dungeon raid battles are, like, so carefully orchestrated that there's so many, like, neat ideas going on. And just like,
it's pretty phenomenal.
How long does fighting a boss take in one of those
raids? One of the bosses can take, like, 10 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. I thought you were going to say, like, an hour or something.
But
a whole raid dungeon, which is, like, Molten Core, for example, is a series of, like, 9-10 bosses. Nine. But they each take like 10 minutes, plus there's like 10 minutes of travel time in between.
Yeah.
So whatever that adds
up. That's mixing it up. You're not just sitting there wailing away on the same dumbass dragon for.
No, even, you know, the.
Like, because EverQuest
famous Enixia
is
like a 15 minute experience. You're like, I'll gather up. You're like, oh, let's go in. And then, like, 10 minutes she's down, and then you leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The raid itself is long, but the bosses, they have enough variety, and they. You know, you're traveling to a new one all the time, and they all have, like, their own hooks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, mad props to the people who figured this stuff out, because, like, when you go in, you got to, like, study your role. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if I screw this up, then, like, you know, the whole raid's going to blame me. So some guild had to go and, like, figure everything out, like, what all 40 people in the raid need to be doing and, like, what the boss is really doing and, like...
I'm thinking of that.
You know, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
That's almost worth bringing Ralphie back to comment on that.
It is.
Should I get the door? Should I get him?
Yeah, you go bring him in here. In the meantime, ask Sean a question. Like, how, you know, have you ever had it where, like, people, there have been, like, fights in your guild because someone did mess it up and someone, like, blamed them and they were ready to do it. They were ready to rock it and jam it that night. Someone had to go and screw it all up.
That's what the Leroy Jenkins thing is all about, right? I mean, it was the guy.
Right. So, I mean, you have that.
Hosing this whole experience.
But, I mean, were they legitimately mad and to the point where it's like, you know how people get, like, maybe you don't, but, like, arguing over, like, fantasy football and crap? You know, they start, like, those are dumb picks, man. You just don't have any game. And it just gets all personal after that. You got a God complex.
It hasn't gotten
I'm talking not from personal experience, but from an anecdote that I've heard.
We haven't had any, like, I haven't experienced anything too horrible. But, like, last week, we ran the final boss of Molten Core, which we've beaten a few times. And, like, we didn't bring him down for a number of reasons. We all had our own, like, oh, we should have had more, you know, DPS classes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The raid leader kind of flipped out. And he's like, it's because you guys didn't have enough fire resist gear. You need to get fire resist gear next week. Bye. Raid over.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Wow.
Because, like, at one point when you hear someone saying that, do you not just step away and go,
who the hell is this?
Was this on TeamSpeak or was this just...
No, this is typed, so you kind of apply your own tone of voice.
So you
can
hear his 11-year-old voice.
Well, was it all
typed? Straight over!
Yeah. Well, like, look, it's a... Well, I don't know how enforced this is, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty enforced. It's 18 and over only in this one, which helps a lot, which is why the last guild sucked. But, like, at least you have, like... You're pretty sure... Every once in a while you suspect that someone's not, but you're pretty sure you're playing with, quote, adults, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know. Like I said, like, I think that's a big part of why I've stuck around with this one, because the meltdowns and the weird, stupid crap doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
And even when things do go wrong, most of the time people laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is true, though, that it's hard when you're playing this to, like, play all the new stuff. I mean, it really is. I have to make myself stop WoW for a while and then play all the new things. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just, like, waiting, because all these, like, Company of Heroes is the one I think I'm most anxious to play.
Yeah.
Thursday comes out, right? Wait, or tomorrow.
Yeah, it's got to be soon. It must be tomorrow. Yeah. Someone I know actually went and looked for it today, so
yeah,
came away empty-handed.
Okay, so let's move on. Oh, break. Okay, now that we've gone through what you're playing, it's taking us longer and longer every week to get past this part. But anyway,
no, it's good stuff. It's like up to the minute, you know, commentary. Yeah.
No, it's important,
and that's cool too because you know, I mean, we've got like in the viewpoint, we've got the more measured, you know, studied response to the games mm-hmm. after we've had time to play them. And here's a good chance for us to like stay up to date and just
yep.
you know whatever's
be in touch with
on
the
top of the you know top of mm-hmm. the head,
right? But when we come back, we'll get on to all the next topics on our agenda for this week. We'll be right back.
All right. Is this where we just be quiet and pretend it's an ad, or do we just...
No, this is where we stop talking for 5 seconds
so
Sean can make a cut. All right, okay, so we're going to try that again.
No, let it go. That was deliberate. I was trying to make a joke there.
Okay, so wait, are we back?
And it
no, we're not back yet.
We're not back yet.
Let's do
okay.
it for real second.
Now, we'll be back in a minute.
Hello, and welcome to the 1UP Radio Network. If you know the name of the podcast you'd like to hear, press 1 now. You have selected Radio PM, starring the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. To download an episode at radiopm.oneup.com, press 1 now. To listen to a promo, press 2 now. Hello, and welcome to the 1UP Radio Network.
And we're back to this
new podcast.
Hey, woo! That was a good me. You keep doing that, I don't have to come down here anymore.
We all practice that. Hello,
hello,
and welcome.
And welcome.
damn. Rough room. Okay, so I think this thing went up today, didn't it, Darren? This thing from this analyst moron? I should stop saying that. He might be listening. Mr.
Yeah.
Pachter, I have great respect for you and your analysis.
Infinite respect.
Obviously, I'm just
you're
kidding
a,
you.
A master of your domain.
Right.
So
Darren, why don't you explain to the folks out there in the listening audience what this item is about.
All right. Michael Pachter, who is he's a gaming analyst at Wedbush Morgan Securities, he said this in a Gama Sutra article recently. The PC games market is becoming a niche, substantial in size, but a niche nonetheless. There will always be PC games, and the MMOs are likely going to remain PC-based because of the required internet connection, because, you know, consoles aren't. There are also games that just make sense on a PC, like RPG, RTS, and, you know, puzzle games. Well, you know, thanks for dismissing our major audience, you know, a major audience as, you know, totally. That's great. Good job, buddy.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, first of all, how do you become a gaming analyst? That's one thing I want to know. That seems like a good job.
That's a good grade. You know what? I can do that.
Oh, wait. We are.
We're gaming
analysts.
Oh,
yeah. We just don't get paid enough.
Right. Well, he might not either. I don't know how wrong he... I think his phrasing is terrible, but I'm not sure if he's wrong. I mean, it is a niche to some extent. Niche doesn't necessarily have to be...
But he's saying it's becoming a niche.
A bad thing. But yeah, becoming a niche, substantial in size, but a niche nonetheless.
I think it's a
segment of gaming. I don't know.
Well, I guess my big beef with it is that he's making this assumption that, like, you know, it's just the territory of, you know, I'm going to play an MMO RPG and that's it. I mean,
well, he says yeah. MMO RPG RTS. Puzzle games. I mean, that's a lot of games.
No one's going to want to play Crysis. No one's gonna,
right. Of course, he did leave out shooters.
No one's going to play a first person shooter on the PC, of course.
Right.
And Spore is only coming to the PC as of right now. So yeah, no one's playing PC games.
Mm-hmm.
Does he even like look at the NPD listings where like The Sims is still coming in like number two in sales like years later?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I think you. It's like. You've got all the consoles. If you just like take away the numbers involved, I mean, really, PC gaming is a separate thing, right? You've got Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox all basically fighting over the same crowd and all representing a certain type of experience, which is playing games in front of your television.
Although, just to clarify, that Nintendo would insist that they're fighting for a different crowd now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Okay, let's not say the same crowd, but it's the same gaming experience.
Right.
It's
certainly, same, certainly sitting in front Sony of your and TV. Microsoft are going head
right.
to head.
Whereas the PC is sort of its own different thing. I mean, I'm willing to say that it's not, you know, we're not going head-to-head with those guys, and we don't need to. It is a separate experience.
If anything, it's complementary.
I think his own words kind of contradict each other, because to me, a niche means not substantial in size. So he says,
well, right.
Exactly.
It's a niche, but it's a really big niche. So that to me means, well, then it's, you know.
Then it's not,
then
a,
it's
niche.
Not a niche.
You can have
then
a substantial niche. I don't think it's an oxymoron, because like furries, probably a substantial niche. Like, I mean, like that, you know.
Look at stuff like Galactic Civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that you could call that a niche, but there's a hell of a lot of people who play those games.
Yeah,
you just look on their forums, like the number of
I don't know.
On there.
What do you think, listener? Let us know on our boards. I'd be curious what you think. Is that a bad thing? First of all, are we a niche? And second, is that a bad thing?
I should chime in. I'm just like, because I think the automatic reaction for us would be to like, damn this guy. You know, like,
well,
we
that's
doing.
What I'm saying.
It's like,
now,
in my opinion, it's like we kind of are because I mean,
well, right. That's
so
what I'm saying.
How many people do you know that even know half of the crap that go into our PCs to even let us play these games compared to they know that, you know, I mean, they know about Xbox and stuff, but it's like, I honestly think like, and I tried to tell Melissa why I was going to go over to Darren's to get another computer. And we have two right now. She's like, why do you need another one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's better. It's like, it just doesn't compute, you know? It's like,
you know, I think part of the problem is right now, and actually I'm going to do a shameless plug for our upcoming issue where I interviewed Mark Rain, and he expounds on this at length.
Yeah, I think he would agree that it's niche. I think Mark Rain would agree.
He would say that it's niche right now, but it has a lot of potential to grow. And I think part of that is, the way he puts it is, you go, like, Joe Consumer, who goes out and buys a computer right now, they can buy an $800 PC that has a dual-core CPU, mm-hmm. but the integrated graphics on that thing can't support Doom 3 mm-hmm. at 60 frames per second. So, you know, there's obviously a disconnect. They focus so much on...
But the integrated graphics can support World of Warcraft.
So you have World of Warcraft.
Some games.
So great. Mm-hmm. So that's perpetuating the MMO myth, but not, you know.
Well, yeah.
So, but the general idea is, if you can have an $800 PC, according to Mark Rain, at least, he says that it'll cost them $5 per board if they just throw in enough horsepower mm-hmm. behind an integrated graphics solution, mm-hmm. so that you could plug in a monitor and you could expect to get at least a certain base level of good performance from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it is, like, you know, we like.
It's kind of weird because they still try to. I mean, they still try to advertise themselves, like, when you get those kind of computers, as, like, yes, you can, you know, on the... It's always pretty big on the bullet points of what you get out of it. You could play games and stuff.
Yeah, they don't...
But it's just, like, it just doesn't tell you, well, you can play, you know, PopCap games.
Exactly. I think that's part of the problem is, like, the expectations of someone is they I just spent $1,000 plus, so however many dollars on any computer.
Right.
Yeah, why is it I got to spend more?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, integrated graphics could be a possible, you know, way for that to work. And I think mm-hmm. with the merger with ATI and AMD, there's mm-hmm. a possibility of, like, they could sell that to board manufacturers and say, okay, you're going to have a computer that's going to work at a certain base level, at least mm-hmm. as good as a 360.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe.
It's definitely at a crossroads. I think that there's a chance that, you know, it could swing in PC gaming's favor of, like, getting, you know, more people in on it.
I just find that I find them to be very complementary pastimes. As somebody, maybe Ryan, you mumbled that a few minutes ago. I forget. Somebody did.
That was
you.
Yeah.
I feel there's a place for both. I mean, we've said this many times on this podcast. Most of us in this room all have all the machines.
I got them all.
PC
totally.
And console.
Yeah, that's why we bounce into 360 conversations
exactly.
almost every
week. We're a gamer nation.
Yeah, it's very, very agnostic here. So I sort of hate that old console versus PC war.
I never
sort of irrelevant to us.
It just depends on the experience you want. I mean, like,
exactly.
Do you want to play something on a big screen TV or just be right up in the action? That's mm-hmm. all
it
matters.
I would never play a game like WoW or whatever on a console, and I would never play like Zelda on a PC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if they were all available, you know, multi-platform,
right.
like
right.
that's just instinctively.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And that's kind of the point.
Right. Okay, so we all agree. That's
Yay.
Beautiful.
I have to wonder if these analysts...
Let's hug. Yeah.
I have to wonder if these analysts really even play a lot of games.
Some
these
do.
Guys, just
Some
like, do. They're paid to predict the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what even...
They wave
what
their dowser rod
mean?
Over the computer and just kind of figure out what's going to happen next.
Yeah, so...
Kind of like us. So the Islamo Gaming. I don't like to be one of those podcasts where we just sort of plug our own magazine. So that's not really what this is about. But in the September issue, we wrote a story on on games being... I don't know what's wrong with my throat today. I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody listening because I keep going the whole time. But we wrote a feature on game. Oh, Sean Elliott's looking at the porn ads again. Take that thing away from
I didn't realize. I thought there was one, but I'm looking.
Oh, no. There's like a whole section. Back. Like
Sean,
a porn section.
Sean, I'll be back.
Here's my pen. You can start taking those numbers.
Yeah. Sean will be back in 10 minutes.
Some of these are only $5, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's a 19.
You could probably eBay some of these names.
Because we're about to get serious with Islamo Gaming. Yeah.
Right.
So we
wrote a piece that was actually written by a regular writer for the Village Voice on the phenomenon of games being made by Islamic groups. And we had no agenda with this piece. The piece was just information. It was letting people know that this phenomenon existed out in the world. That was the point. That's often the point of magazine articles, is to talk about stuff you maybe never heard of and inform. So that's what this feature was. But the mail's been running hot and cold, of course, on this piece with a lot of very knee-jerk that we had taken a certain stance. By even publishing this thing at all, we were somehow taking a side or making some kind of political.
And that I wonder if it's almost just the place where we're at in terms of writing about games. Because I think, like, if you grabbed, you know, whatever, Vanity Fair or something, and you read a story about, you know, Tehran, you're not going to immediately assume that because they're turning their gaze in that direction, that they're advocating whatever it is that they're going to discuss in the pages that follow. Mm-hmm. Whereas for in game stuff, so much of the time, and in most people's experience, when you grab a game magazine, if something's in there and it's not a review, it's pretty much, you know, advocating it in some way.
Right.
You know, it's saying, like, this is worth your attention. This is, you know, usually because this is cool or this is something that we sit with. But there's really, I mean...
Well, that one letter of criticism we got a week or so ago where the guy was saying, like, you know, you don't even... Not only was it lousy, but, like, you didn't even say, like, where to get these games. You know, it was like, well, that wasn't the point of the article. It wasn't a preview.
It wasn't a preview of the games, yeah.
But it just sort of was beyond him that we would even run an article that wasn't a preview or a review.
The cool thing about it when I decided to chase it and you know, approach, you know, Ed Halter about it was that not only is it, you know, because you just don't think of it and you don't think of the Middle East in those terms. You're like, okay, not only, you know, they have quite a few different games, but then when you do look at them, it's interesting regardless, like, well what's going on in them, you know? And then, like, immediately some people, you know, wanted to look, and then certainly they were vindicated by what they found, that they are basically sort of agenda tools, you know, that they were training, you know, either, you know, desensitizing, whatever. They were, you know, rallying cries for games, and that was true. At the same time, though, as I thought, what I found interesting about it in reading some of Ed's work elsewhere is that as you looked at it, and as you made that call, is this stuff just completely obnoxious? Is this horrendous? Is this basically terrorist training tools or what? Or is there something more to it? I found myself saying, well, you know, how does it compare to American stuff, which I'm clearly behind. Totally avid war gamer, you know, and consume, you know, American-made and European-made war games. And even when you try to strip out the politics and say, hey, basically it's just some made-up war, but the two teams happen to be, it just happens to be that the guys are wiping out or this or that or the other, you know. But then when you flip it, it's weird. It just kind of exposes your biases and expectations, you know, and you're like, wow. And you find, like, if you find yourself immediately offended by the notion that Americans are being killed in it, which I think we all rightfully do, it just reminds you that, you know, hey,
how do you think they might look
at this? How they're seeing it, whether they're right or wrong seeing it, this is how they're doing it. You know, when we ask all these questions the world about, you know, why do people do the things they do, I think perception is key. So I think it,
honestly, I always wonder how all these World War II games go over in Germany. I really wonder that all the time. You know, the Nazis are never the good guys. You know,
the misunderstood.
I mean, that's got the benefit of being, you know, historicized. I mean, it's not like a future projection. Like, I mean, if we tended to make it so that about, you know, what, 60% of our games were fighting Germany 5 years in the future from now, and they happen to be a Nazi state again, then that would be even more incendiary. And that's kind of like what, because basically all these games are coming out of here, you know, are in America at least, they're set in Korea and Venezuela and all these places and stuff. And they totally, you know, for all these reasons, we can say it makes sense. But at the same time, just acknowledging that, well, if you're depending on where you're living, it might not make as much sense as quickly to someone else as it does to us.
And I
someone else asked about, you know, in our I think our reader mail on this list about other sorts of stories like that that we want to pursue, and I find it interesting everywhere. It's not just the terrorism slant, but we're doing a whole lot on China,
right?
Massively interesting Korea. I mean, the Eastern Bloc. I think we're going to turn, you know, and do some stuff on all these areas. So,
Yeah, actually, there's one thing I've been wanting to check out. There's in Russia. Well. Former, like, you know, in Moscow, rather, there's this former KGB office that's now being used as a testing center for games.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that on the air.
Oh.
You're so dead now. They're listening, Darren. I think we should just go back to tips and tricks articles.
Yeah.
This stuff is scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's like, dangerous. I mean, I think the fact that it's getting, when you do a story that gets responses of that, you know, variety and that kind of passion, it says we're doing something right.
It was very cool that I thought that we got picked up by Fox News.
I mean, totally.
Whatever you think about Fox News, I mean, the fact that we were on the radar that way.
And look at this.
If only they credited us, probably.
Of course, it got credited to Extreme Tech.
Yeah.
In fact, they did not do that article. It was Computer Gamer World. Thank you very little.
And when we get the letters of guys saying...
I think
saying,
you just tied your cord into your...
I'm tying my cue to the cord of my mic. That was...
Nice.
Something bad was going to happen there. I'm sorry, Sean.
So I was saying, we got like the letter that we got today we can't talk about because the letter writer copyrighted his letter.
Yeah.
Yes.
So while we're not going to quote it, we can talk about it. It's not. It's in our legal right to explain that we received the letter.
Yes, it is.
He was basically saying that the whole thing was pro... Whatever,
pro-Muslim,
jihadist or whatever, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
But if Fox News, not necessarily known for being, you know, having a liberal slant or anything, is going to pick it up and reprint it word for word, and it wasn't like an incendiary thing. It wasn't like someone editorializing and say, hey, can you believe that these guys wrote this thing? They just put it. And if they were doing that, they were pretty confident that their readers, whose expectations are probably, you know, I would guess are more conservative than not, then they were confident enough in its impartiality to do
right.
that.
In fact,
so, I mean,
it would be fair enough to...
That's one
it, in fact, it would be fair enough to read that piece that we wrote and be... angry that these games exist at the end. But you shouldn't be angry at those who wrote the story,
the
just
messenger.
Letting you know that it's there.
It would be cool to take and point, if you had to find some liberal friend, and point them to the story on the Fox News site and have them read it if it didn't have the Extreme Tech, well, whatever.
Oh, that's true.
And then let them read it and say, hey, is this biased conservative, and see if they're more likely. I mean, do like some kind of poll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, liberal readers that read it in this context thought it was more likely to be conservative, and then, you know, conservative readers that read it in our context thought it was more likely to be liberal.
But this is why Sean Malloy and I are happier in Azeroth.
Right.
It's just a happier, nicer place there.
That's right.
But isn't that like racism?
I don't have to worry about DKP.
Yeah, but isn't that racism amongst the trolls and the elves?
True. I get a lot of crap as a gnome, you know? I like, you know, I'm like walking down the road in Ironforge or whatever, and people like will pat my head. I'm like, hey, excuse me. I'm a grown man. Egbert's level 56. Pat my head. Okay, I'm sorry. Took the conversation down about 50 IQ points.
The same.
Wow! We were
Time Elliott's trying
to
smarten
ads.
Up the magazine. Sean's back to the porn ads. I tried to be smart.
It's like we were NPR for a minute. Now back to regular
scheduled program.
To end that, I did want to assure people that hopefully you enjoyed that kind of thing, because we've got a lot more. Sort of stuff like that in Radar coming up in future issues in CGW and Games for Windows.
Yeah.
The official magazine.
Yeah, seriously, I am very proud of that article and all the articles we run like that, and I do hope that some readers out there appreciate it at least, because Lord knows we've gotten a lot of negative over this one for not being American enough.
Right. But with
America!
It's happened too. I mean, when we covered the... in the story God Mode, where we covered Christian gaming clans,
yes,
the assumptions were there as well, that we were actually, half of the assumptions were that we were Christians proselytizing in our magazine. The other, actually, no one accused us of of just ripping these guys, you know?
No, no.
But then again, but then when we ran the story on the gay lesbian guilds in World of Warcraft, it was like, you know, you guys are all like, all of a sudden you're whatever, the Rainbow Coalition or something.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I think it's just getting people to get to that comfort level where they can see that we're covering these things,
right,
and we're aiming for impartiality, and that it's just because we're looking at it doesn't mean we're
right,
necessarily.
We're, yeah.
With the, you know, with the Christian Gaming article, in fact, most of the letters from excuse me, from Christians or serious believers was that they were amazed that we were so
right,
so impartial. It was the angry letters actually came from the people who wished we had smacked
we
them
just
harder,
ripped them up, yeah.
You know, which of course would have been the easy way out.
Right. But right, as again, it just said that we were doing our jobs the right way, I think, on that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it pays for us to editorialize when we're playing at game hands on, and mm-hmm, we can tell you that's what we're supposed to be experts on this.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff like that where there's, you know,
we just reporting the
so
news.
I think what our basic point is, we're great. To sum up,
everyone,
we love our articles.
We are advancing the art.
I would subscribe to us if we didn't write us.
We are editorial elite.
No. Okay. People will read into things whatever they want.
Indeed.
And if you're not getting hate mail, you're not doing your job. So,
very true.
How are we doing on time?
How are we doing on time?
49 minutes.
Okay.
Ooh, got a blast.
Okay, yeah, we'll blast through.
Out of here. I got to get on the train.
Oh, Sean.
Well, I just go carry on. But
okay. Well, Darren, I'll want you to take over and breeze through them as you see fit.
All right. This will be go really quick. Okay. So quickly about that Xbox 360 notebook. I got to give some mad props to Nerd Supreme Ben Heck. He basically created a custom 360 portable with a 17-inch display, a Wi-Fi, 3-port USB hub, a keyboard, the whole deal. And it weighs 14 pounds. So I don't know.
So what? It's like a...
It's basically it's a portable Xbox 360. It looks like a thick notebook, like a desktop replacement notebook.
Isn't the 360 heavy, though?
It weighs in at 14 pounds, it says.
It weighs about 14 pounds, the whole thing, with the monitor. So I'm just like, you know what? That's kind of cool in a seriously nerdy way.
All right. So I guess on the Xbox podcast, I can talk about that.
There you go. All right. Done. Here's something, actually, I told you to be
crossover.
Quick. I told you to be quick. Okay, so let me see. So over at...
I get to read one of these, man.
Which one you want to read?
Are you going to do Halo now?
Yeah, I was about to. You want to do it?
All right, I'll do the first paragraph. The mod Halogen in RTS take on Halo is ground to a halt by Microsoft. I'm reading this exactly, so don't...
This is...
Has ground to a halt by Microsoft? What the hell is that, dude? Anyway,
yeah, just notes.
Okay,
don't edit his notes.
I'm about to fucking
after
stab
working
you,
on
dude.
The game for the
I'm
last three
on
years.
Your ass.
All right, let's back it up.
fucking Webster over here.
Oh,
whoa. Someone's legitimately
easy on
mad.
The language. Yeah.
Oh man, I was just playing,
dude. My notes, dude.
Oh, that ain't dude, cool. We got to end this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
It's getting ugly.
It's anarchy. Okay,
yeah, so cool. We all needed fire resist gear.
I was just trying to make it exciting.
It was
going to be exciting.
That was exciting. We almost had blows here.
I know.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, I'm done.
Wow.
We got
scared
awkward.
Him off.
Darren's just dropping F-bombs. He's losing it.
Read my notes making fun of me? Jesus Christ, dude.
I just was reading out loud and I realized
what has happened.
Oh, my goodness.
We're having a good podcast. Suddenly, it's imploded.
It's getting tender like a pot roast. It's been cooking for
drama.
16 hours.
Okay.
Never mind.
Does anyone want to take this news item or are we just moving on?
Carry
wow.
on.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, I'll finish it then.
Please
basically,
do.
We got a mod called Halogen, an RTS take on Halo, and Microsoft's put the heel on it. After working on the game for 3 years, the makers of Halogen got a cease and desist order from Bungie on September 8th.
Wow. They worked on it for 3 years, and now Microsoft gave them a cease and desist? Is
well,
that right?
It was Bungie, actually.
Oh, Bungie gave them a cease
because
and desist.
Because it was using their IP. It was faithfully, it was like recreating.
Couldn't they have done it 3 years ago?
Yeah, that's what I was just
were they ask. Making a profit on it?
No, it's just kind of like they're doing their own thing. They wanted to, like, they love the game. They wanted to make an RTS out of it, so they're creating a mod for, I think it was Command & Conquer Generals.
So it's up there with the, like, well, no, not necessarily. I was going to say the classic cases of American litigation where you've got Disney suing, a home daycare center for having a Mickey Mouse mural on the wall.
Right.
But actually, in that case, you could argue that they are making money off it. But
what this actually reminds me of is the old days of PC gaming. It seems like the same crap is starting to come over into the console world because in the old days before it was all legitimized, the map making and the mod making, I remember... Westwood used to get really upset with people making Command & Conquer maps. you know, they just didn't buy into the whole thing at first. People were just hacking it and making their own mods and maps, and Westwood felt like it was money that they should have been making, that they were getting ripped off, you know, from people making money off their
IP. What year was that?
1840.
No, because it's like, it seems so long ago.
It was like 1995, 96.
It's not really that long ago, but like everything that we associate with PC gaming, you know, now.
Right.
The good stuff about, you know, being able to have access to all these mods.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, like, I don't feel like this issue would even be happening on the PC, really. That what's happening now with Halogen and Bungie seems like something that wouldn't happen on our platform.
Right. Except it is.
Well, no,
it just switched over.
Well, actually, it is? This is for PC.
Never mind.
I was wondering what you guys...
That's why you guys were all looking at me weird.
Well, it still holds, because it's like, maybe if it was a PC franchise, like if it was Half-Life, say, and they made a Half-Life-based RTS that was free, and,
yeah,
you know, maybe it wouldn't be happening.
Right.
But because it's got its origins in console land, then maybe that's...
You know, all I'm saying is, you know, if Microsoft or Bungie had any plans for an RTS Halo game, fine, stop it. But I mean, forget.
Maybe they do.
Hopefully, maybe there's some kind of secret thing in the works. But
even if they do, though, it's like, come on, that would be like Valve shutting down Fortress Forever because they decided they're going to release Team Fortress 2.
Seems a little mean spirited and bully-like.
Yeah. As long as they're not making profit off it, all they're doing is like furthering people's, you know, attention and devotion to the Halo mythos and just the brand recognition and everything. It's just like, hey, here's more of that stuff you like. But
you'd think you would want to empower fans like that who are like taking your franchise that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like you'd be flattered and want them to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, these are the people who like are going to be buying the Halo comics and seeing the Halo movie.
If somebody was to make like a CGW RTS, don't you think we'd be supportive?
Yeah, but my units would suck.
No.
Don't encourage that.
Well, would we sue them, Ryan, you think?
I don't know. Depends on how cool the we all are in the game.
The office
defamation of character.
Ryan Scott Esquire.
Yeah, maybe they messed with the mythos or something.
So I was just going to say, like, if anyone's listening wants to give them their support, halogen.slipstreamproductions.net, just drop them a line on their forums and just... I don't know. Wish him well.
Send him flowers.
RIP, guys.
And money. So now tell us about Double Fine. That's a bit of happy news.
Yeah. Anyone else want to handle this one?
No.
Jeez. Darren's all temperamental now. Don't make fun if you're not.
Let's back it up, because if that's going to be on the podcast, need some explanation. Darren, I was just reading it. Like, I didn't say, hey, let me read it so I can expose some, like, in a note that I understand is meant to, now I understand is meant to be, a mnemonic device for you to freely ad-lib whatever it's about. But as I was reading out loud, I just was like, wait a minute. That wasn't right.
So I was trying
to just clarify that it's not that I can't read it. It's just I was reading a note that was meant to be a note and not...
And while we're having the group hug, I pulled an all-nighter last night working on articles. So, sorry.
And that, dude, your hours with the damn tech support.
Yeah, I'm a little on edge.
It's like a therapy session here.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. That's trauma. Hey. That's good radio.
Now I need a drink. Okay, I need a drink. All right, that settles it.
Let's finish this off.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, the Double Fine thing.
Thank you. You know, you're Tim Schafer's best friend. You read through it.
Double Fine is making a new game. It will be published by Vivendi.
Yay!
Everyone is happy.
Everyone's happy.
Yay.
Next.
Double Fine is happy. Vivendi's happy. Ryan is happy.
I'm happy.
We're all happy, too. Yeah.
Psychonauts was a great game that did not get the attention it should have. So maybe, I don't know, is there a plan to re-release it for Vivendi? No. No, don't say anything.
No, don't say anything,
says Ryan.
Well, we don't know. It's actually kind of interesting. Actually,
I was only speculating. I'm just asking.
You know what's kind of interesting, though, is they're actually like, going to be making this new game under the Sierra brand. They're kind of bringing that back.
Nice.
Bringing back old school for adventure gamers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Sierra brand. What the hell? That doesn't exist anymore.
Well,
that's just the name now.
I can't say anything, but I hear there's talk of trying to do, you know, get back some of those old school stuff.
Was that last Leisure Suit Larry game under the Sierra brand?
Actually, I think it was.
It was.
Yeah, see?
Okay,
see
never mind.
See what that means?
Never mind. I take
yeah,
it all back.
Mind.
Done.
So, wait, what have you been hearing, Darren?
Nothing. La, la, la.
Okay.
La, la.
Yeah, Sierra, whatever.
Done.
Okay. Sierra
is gonna make
dead.
More fights, man. Just move on to the next one now.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so I'm a bit of a short fuse today.
So what's this, so the Kurt Schilling news. And then let's get out of here before we, like, all hate each other.
I'm not full of hate. I just need a drink. Okay. Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling. He's been a he's been a huge EverQuest nerd for a long time now. And he, after retirement, he's forming his own MMO company called Green Monster Games, named after obviously Wall and Fenway Park. So, partnering up with Curt Schilling is the baseball junkie and Spawn creator Todd McFarlane.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a good thing.
Okay, well.
Not to Ryan.
Supposed
not
to and and. Is
okay. Okay, you know, I was.
Dude, it basically means there's going to be like primates with cyborg arms.
and
ripped off like old Frankensteins and stuff. With, but with more cyborg legs
and more like gothic
more like
mummies
stitched
and
up
stuff.
Eyes and like
red eyes.
I wonder how long it'll be before the toy line comes out.
No doubt with a day and date, but actually
before the game, it'll
they got
come
the
out.
Sculptors working on it right now.
But also, fantasy.
No love for Todd McFarlane.
None here.
Well, some of the stuff that they make of other people's properties. For their sculptures, or their sculptures. It's not a toy, Mom.
It's a doll. It's not a doll, man. It's an action figure.
Oh, God. Never mind.
Did you see it? But read Curt Schilling's company's motto here.
Says, our motto is, if you can't do it better than it's ever been done before, work for someone else.
Yeah. My response to that motto would be, come up with a shorter motto.
I know. I'm still processing it. I'm like, is that good?
I remember other ones. It sounds like, just do it, or you had anyway, yeah. So actually, the only part of promising news here is fantasy writer, depending on if you like his fantasy novels or not. R.A. Salvatore is creative director. Yeah, I think is he the writer behind all the Slayer books of the?
He writes a lot.
Okay, well we've dissed Todd McFarlane. We've dissed R.A.
So
Salvatore.
Be an awesome
Why
game.
Don't we just diss Curt Schilling? What a lousy pitcher that guy.
Screw the Sox.
What a dumbass. This is like the Three Stooges making a game. Schilling, McFarlane, and
but no, Salvatore. Like okay, say what you want about the others, but let's go back to Todd McFarlane's last dealing with a video game.
Yeah.
I remember this one,
Todd McFarlane's Monsters, and it was like
the top-down arcade.
Yeah, and it had like a pirate with like a cyborg arm.
Yeah,
this is
totally serious.
A pirate with the cyborg arm, and then like I don't remember the rest. Like a werewolf with like something cyborg on him, like a cyborg tail.
And then
was this before Soul Calibur 2?
This was way after. Most recent. This was after Spawn, also, for the one that came out for Xbox
and
stuff.
It was like a Konami game.
And that game, one of his creations in there is called Bully Dozer. It's a bulldozer that's a monster. And it's Bully Dozer.
Did you have to review that one?
The whole time you're playing it, you're like... So bad. So that's why, I don't know about these other guys... I mean, R.L. Stine, his Goosebump books are cool, so maybe his writing's not going to be half bad in here, but the Todd McFarlane guy,
hey dude, don't
count on Cyborg.
Don't just Goosebumps. I used to work at Scholastic on those books.
That's why I'm ready to play.
I can swear that I read at least one good R.A. Salvatore book. Hasn't he written some good stuff?
Didn't he do the Dragonlance books?
Forgotten Realms,
sorry.
Right, there you go. How sad that we knew
You
that.
Did not read that, did you?
No. Okay. I do read Dragonlance, which is why I can tell you that he does not
That's
write Dragonlance.
Hickman.
Oh,
That's
that was okay. Tracy Hicks. Yes. Yeah.
Is there anybody at this table who's not read dumbass sci-fi in their life?
The closest I've got is Arthur Clarke and then Frank Herbert.
Dumbass.
That's as close as I've gotten.
It's pretty highbrow.
There's still some bad stuff in...
Oh, yeah,
I turned it to the Arthur Clarke hour, but there's still something he can do wrong.
He can.
Same thing with those guys can.
I mean, Herbert, there's a line in Dune talking about adult beef swellings.
I know. I remember that one.
Seriously.
As long as you don't read those new Dune books, you're okay.
Yeah, I tried to read Stranger in a Strange Land a while ago, and I'd never read it. And, boy, that book is dated quite a lot. I know it's supposed to be a classic, but...
Let's turn them into MMOs.
It happens. Like yeah. Even Asimov, there's things like email.
Right.
For the world of tomorrow.
Are we wrapping up?
Oh, are we wrapping up?
Yeah, let's wrap up.
Ryan's anxious to get the hell out of here.
All
right,
go.
So we're not going to answer any of your questions this week because even though we love you, we don't love you that much. We need to go home. Yeah, we need to go.
No, hang on. I want to end with an actual piece of bad writing.
Oh, okay. Ryan has something to read.
All right, this is from CGW number 37. Way back from May 1987, and this is a review of an Accolade game called Killed Until Dead.
This is a classic.
Now, here's the first paragraph of this review.
Surfacing for gravy in a vat of air.
Okay, here we go. Killed Until Dead. Accolade games are fun and of high quality. They know the C64/128 and know how to use its best features to the fullest. They give you value for your purchasing dollar. Paraphrasing a famous quote, I've never played an Accolade game that I haven't liked.
They got a C-124
that sounds
and
like
they
a
know
good game.
How to use it.
So far. Yeah. I got to play that one.
Killed Until Dead, everyone.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks.
We have high respect for CGW of the past. Some of us, like me, were at CGW in the past.
So this guy was from issue...
However...
That was from issue 37.
There's some pretty bad writing and good writing going all the way through the 25-year history of this magazine. Was that kind of your point of reading that? That's a piece of pretty crappy
change,
crappy writing from
our
supposed
really
good old days. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why you do that?
If this is Tuesday, this must be Stalingrad.
It doesn't say that.
That's
wow, that's another line from that issue. Sometime we could devote a podcast just to reading all this.
I'm just reading
there
the
was.
Lines.
Of course, like I said earlier, in 10 years, somebody's going to be sitting around reading our bad prose.
Yep.
You know?
There's a lot more gaming.
There's a lot more gaming.
Okay.
We can go out on this with reading an ad from another CGW.
Okay.
This is for a piece of software that was later to become pretty much anyone you talk to on an instant messenger. But... Now you can have your own girlfriend, TM, a sensuous woman living in your computer. Girlfriend is the first virtual woman. You can watch her, talk to her, ask her questions, and relate to her. Over 100 actual VGA photographs allow you to see your girlfriend as you ask her to wear different outfits and guide her into different sexual activities. As a true artificial intelligence program, Girlfriend starts with a 3,000-word vocabulary. It actually grows the more you use it. She will remember your name, your birthday, your likes and dislikes. I'm almost getting done. Hold up. Girlfriend comes with the base software and Girlfriend Lisa. Additional girls will be added. This program requires 7 to 10 megabytes of free space on disk. Free second girlfriend just added.
Free second girlfriend.
Like they edited as they were writing the ad. Free second girlfriend just added. Didn't you just tell me it only comes with Lisa?
Sounds
now
like
I get Debbie. Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Like real life.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go out on that one.
Okay. Okay.
We will be back next week. And next week, maybe Ryan will have ordered girlfriend Lisa. and he'll be able to tell us all about it.
He's going to have a whole harem at that point.
The emulators, Ryan. Emulators.
I'm sure she's married off by now.
Okay. Regular price, $129. Special introductory price, $69.
$69.
I get it.
Whoa,
I get it.
Funny.
Okay, we're stopping right now. We're out. We're so
out,
done.
Out, out, out.